Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the call this morning is well-known and well-loved community doctor, Dr. Jill Valerius. Good morning, Jill. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks for having me join you today.
Yeah, I am excited for this kind of crossover between our two roles in the community. Today we're going to talk about a book that we've both read that you gifted me. Before we get into that, Jill, I'd like to start by asking my guests a little about themselves. How did you get to Alaska and how did you become a doctor? Tell us that story.
Oh, well, how I got to be a doctor, when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a doctor.
And so just like
that. I'm one of those fortunate people that knew what I wanted to do and really got kind of focused and that happened.
Yeah.
It took a few years, but I got there. I did medical school, or went to medical school, and did my residency training in family medicine in Minnesota.
Okay.
And so I came here from Duluth, Minnesota. So for those that aren't super aware of the geography in Minnesota, it's in northern Minnesota. And it's right at the tip of Lake Superior. So, I came here when I was in med school. I had the opportunity to visit up here because I had an aunt and uncle that moved up here.
Okay.
And I think I just always had this idea that maybe I should go to Alaska sometime. And so when I finished my training, I worked mostly in ERs and urgent cares for about a year and a half after residency, and then kind of decided if I was going to do family medicine, maybe I should get kind of back into that. And that was about the time I had some opportunities up here. And actually, a friend of mine from medical school that many people will know, Dr. Wade Erickson, was here.
Okay.
And so I came to visit after residency. And we started talking and those sort of things, and lo and behold, that was in July 1 year, and the next year I was up here interviewing, and in October I was back up here signing a contract, and Capstone Family Medicine birthed then in December of 2003.
Wow. Okay. And then you just never looked back, like Alaska's home now. This is where you're going to be?
Yeah. Alaska is home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we'll see. Looking forward.
Sure. That's an unfair question to say, where are you going to end up? People ask me that, and I kind of look at them like, why am I supposed to know that?
Right. Yeah, I love it here. I love what I do here, so I don't see myself changing that trajectory anytime soon.
I was trying to think when I was considering this interview, I was trying to think of when our paths first crossed, and I wasn't sure if it was not until I came over to the trust or if it was before then. Like, I was trying to think of how you and I first crossed paths. Do you have any recollection of when that was?
I don't exactly, but yeah, I don't know, Amy. Like, was it with the trust? I mean, how long have you been at the trust?
I've been at the trust 6 years. I feel like I've known you longer than that.
Yeah, I think that we've crossed paths prior to that.
Sure. Well, now we cross paths regularly. You're a longtime and generous supporter of Alaska Farmland Trust. You come to all of our events. I kind of consider you one of those folks in Palmer that I can, count on to show up and support our causes. And, you're just one of those folks. But today we're kind of chatting because you gifted me a book called Pharmacology, that's spelled with an F for listeners, Pharmacology by Daphne Miller. And tell me your version of that story. How did you come across this book? Is this someone that you know or a colleague, or how did this book get into your life?
So I heard Daphne Miller. She's a family physician. I heard her speak probably in the first time in 2014.
Okay.
At an Institute for Functional Medicine conference. And, you know, I don't know if I was listening to a podcast or maybe if it was, or it was a conference somewhere, like her name came up again. And there's always some names that kind of bubble up here and there. And it really, several of the conferences, especially when I'm attending a functional medicine conference or a personal lifestyle medicine institute conference, they're really focused on larger concepts. You know, I mean, certainly we're talking about specific disease and approaches, but we're also, you know, really talking about kind of the environment and food. And so
the bigger picture.
Yeah, really. And so the bigger, you know, this popped, you know, it just popped up again. And I buy books. I buy lots of books. And I read it, and I really kind of devoured it. And, you know, immediately I contacted you, and I'm like, I'm going to get you a copy of this book.
Yeah.
It's really neat because, you know, especially with where we are now, you know, in the world, really, thinking about what do we deal with in terms of disease, and the vast majority of what any healthcare provider deals with is chronic illness.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
It, you know, we have overlays of acute things, but it's really chronic illness. And if we're really going to look at overall health and chronic illness, like, we have to be thinking about, you know, our climate. We have to be thinking about food.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. And so this book is, and it clearly it made me think of you in your role with the Farmland Trust and knowing what, you know, is trying to be accomplished here. And we have lots of great small farms here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, like I know from you, you know, like we are growing in small farms compared to everywhere else. And those are the things, because I think people are really understanding the importance of food, you know, local food, food quality.
Yeah.
And if we really honestly want to at all address chronic disease going forward, or even impact things like COVID right now, like much of the problem is that we are, as a whole, we're undernourished.
Right, right. Unhealthy to start. And then something like this comes along and everybody gets sick, some of us more than others, right? Yeah, when you were talking about acute illness and underlying just unhealth, like we have these acute symptoms that come out, like someone finally goes to the doctor because they have something that won't go away. But in fact, it's these underlying health issues that have been there forever where the body finally says, hey, you've got to listen to me, right? Like with this acute eruption of whatever it is, right?
Right, we do. And really to, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times what we do is we address the symptom.
Mm-hmm,
that's what Western medicine, that is
absolutely.
The model that we're trained in.
Here's a pill to fix that.
Yeah. And the problem is we're not getting at the underlying issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a quick reminder to folks, this is Ag Matters Radio. This morning I'm chatting with Dr. Jill Valerius. We're talking about a book that we both read called Pharmacology, Total Health from the Ground Up. Just what you were just saying, I have some sticky notes all throughout the book where I, you know, things really jumped out at me. And what you were just saying, like, we're not talking about we solve the symptom. We take a pill or, you know, find a short-term solution for the symptom, but we don't talk about the overall health. And she, in this book, throughout the book, she constantly relates that to how one takes a holistic approach to their farm versus just how do I raise the fattest calves or the healthiest chickens? It's how is my whole farm healthy and what's a whole farm approach, right? It was just the symbolisms and the things that she – the similarities that she came up with between the farm and the medical field were really interesting. I do have to read this one quote in the very beginning of the book. It's the opening – in the opening pages – there's this quote, it says, "I'm neither an optimist nor a pessimist. I am a dyed-in-the-wool possibilist. By this, I mean with an eco-mind, we see that everything's connected and change is the only constant." That's by Francis LePay, How to Think Like an Ecosystem. But that caught me right out the gate. I thought, ooh, because I think of myself as an eternal optimist. I'm always looking at the bright side of things. And I think that that's something that's very common in our world of agriculture. You wouldn't be a farmer if you weren't constantly hopeful and optimistic about the next season. But I liked this terminology of a possibilist too. I thought that was very fitting. Yeah. I don't know if you have the book in front of you, Jill, or if there's anything.
I do.
Okay, yeah. What's something that jumped out at you or something that you wanted to point out as well?
You know, like, I don't know that I have a specific thing from the book, but, you know, what I think, you know, she – so in this book, to give people a little bit of an idea of what she does, so she's a physician and realizes that we have, you know, a bigger problem here than – that's at the root of these medical issues. And she goes to all of these different really farms all over the United States.
Yeah.
So
I'd like her travel budget, but go on.
Right. But it's really cool because the analogy, like you, what you had just read about the possibilities is like these different farmers that she worked with and learned from and went and stayed with for several days, a week at a time, you know, she really got to see how they look at their land. And and the idea that, like, you know, if you're having a pest, you know, a pest problem, you know, is the goal to wipe out the pest?
Right.
Is, you know, how are different ways to approach that? And I think, like, that's really cool. And, like, I think, you know, her talking to each of these different farmers and what they have learned as they've, in many of these, they have stopped using pesticides or they're using organic things or they're using regenerative agriculture.
Yeah.
But they have just noticed over time, like, their soil is more healthy.
Right, right.
You know, their families are more healthy. The animals are more healthy.
Yep.
And I think that that's just, it's so cool. And, you know, the challenges, you know, or are how, you know, how does this become a bigger thing? You know, and there's lots of people working on this. But, you know, we also have these, you know, there's a very top-down approach to agriculture, I think.
Sure.
And there's a top-down approach in medicine.
Medicine,
like,
yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, and so a solo family physician, you know, kind of like myself is, you know, a bit like the small farm.
Yeah.
You know.
You're trying to do your little part and have your little impact, but are you impacting the greater good or the bigger picture, right? Like, are you feeding enough people? And when she went to the Bronx and she was looking at this little cityscape farms and the urban farming, and she kind of had that question, like, but how many people are you actually feeding? But to me, the takeaway was, but the bigger impact that those small urban farms are having on their community is such a critical component to the greater good, right?
Right, right. And that the example when she goes to the Bronx, you know, part of those health benefits is like they were, you know, urban farming can lower the incidence of alcoholism,
right,
of crime. You know, it's part, you know, we have Gro Palmer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And when people start to realize that, and you can go, like, you can go rip off a piece of lettuce and eat it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but it also gets people, it gets people out. It gets people engaged.
Community.
Yeah, it's a community. So
I really liked that part, too. Yeah, just some of those statistics about about the impacts, the health impacts of gardening kind of blew my mind a little bit. I mean, it seems obvious to those of us that do it or those of us that know people that garden and get so much joy out of it and share their food from their garden with other people. Like, you see it happening. But the statistics that she pointed out about the health benefits of community gardening and just gardening as a whole were really powerful. I really took a lot away from the when she visited the two different chicken operations and the part about stress, because what I've learned in my short little life about the impact of stress on the body is profound. You know, like, to me, I feel like all disease or all illness can be tied back to stress, right? And that's just my, you know, non-medical opinion, right, obviously. But I really appreciated, you know, her perceptions and what she learned on the two different operations. It was kind of one big farm, but they farmed some chickens in one way and other chickens in another way. And they talked a lot about the different stresses that the chickens were faced, and how the chickens, the less healthy chickens, had chronic stress, the daily stress of the noise and the smell and the just all these things that impacted their lives, whereas the chickens that were outside, they had short little bursts of stress. Like, if a lynx or a fox came nearby and they had to, like, run for their lives, they had that little burst of stress. But I don't know, I just found that part really interesting too. Like, you know, again, kind of one of those aha, but also like, well, duh moments, you know, like, that makes perfect sense.
Right. And if you think about, you know, from a, like, if you think about it historically or maybe anthropologically about this, like, those chickens that are on this particular farm, you know, that are subject to some of these external stressors, you know, be it a lynx, a fox, you know, something like that, or weather, you know, those are stressors as animals.
Mm-hmm.
And our limbic system, you know, our kind of our reptilian brain, that fight or flight.
Right, right.
Like, those stressors, I mean, they're stressors, there's no doubt. But the difference to having a stress turned on and then off versus, like, the other chickens, you know, that are, you know, in hen houses, you know, like, that is, it's just that day-to-day ongoing. And, you know, we can parallel that to human disease.
Sure.
Like, think about how many, you know, hopefully it's not been too close, but, like, if you've been out hiking and you're like, oh crap, there's a moose right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're busy talking and you don't realize it. And your heart rate goes up and you figure out what to do and you back up and, you know, and then that situation generally, you know, ends.
Yeah.
You know, generally in a good way, but then, and your heart rate still raised a little bit, but then eventually you're like, fine, and you're back to normal.
Right.
But, you know, when you think about the chronic day-to-day stress of, like, oh boy, like, think about, you know, anybody working in the world today.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just that it's that everyday just stress of, like, if it's a mom that, like, teaches and has young kids and they have to shuttle their kids and they have to work their regular job and they have to do all these things, like, every single day. That's that stress. You know, that's the stress that makes us ill.
Right. Absolutely.
Over time. And it's the same thing in the chicken farm. It's like, that's the stress that makes the chickens ill.
Yeah. Well, another quick reminder to folks, our time, guys, goes by so fast, but this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. I'm chatting with Dr. Jill Valerius about the book Pharmacology that we both read, and it's got just so many great parallels between agriculture and holistic farming. You were talking about pest management, like how the farmers manage the pests on their farm. And, you know, integrated pest management is kind of on the forefront, the leading edge of ways to, you know, manage pests on your farm without chemicals, right? It's like, do you bring in a bigger pest? Do you bring in a flowering plant that will attract all the pests to come to it instead of them eating your broccoli or your cabbage or whatever? But I really liked how she came up with integrated patient management, right? Like, how can the medical world take this same approach instead of, again, attacking that one specific symptom, how can you take a whole body approach and figure out what is the underlying cause of this problem in the patient, right? Like, and the same thing on a farm. Like, if you have a major disease or pest issue on your farm, the pests will find the weakest link, right? They're going to find the plants right. that are already worn down from drought or from stress, or their nutrient load is low. You know, that's kind of the pests are usually like your canary in the tunnel, right? Saying, hey, we have a problem right. on the farm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. And I still, to this day, I'm really considering like getting on the Scribe winery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in their little membership. But where she goes to the winery is so cool, talking about pest management. And I had the opportunity a couple of years ago in Italy to go to a biodynamic farm and a winery, actually. And so it was really neat because they really do, you know, they have roses at the end of the row. You know, they plant specific things around the vineyard so that they can keep an eye on what sort of pests are there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really try to attract a balance.
Yeah, yep.
Because that's what, you know, they just learn. Like, we've seen, you know, what can happen with, you know, lots of fertilizers and those kind of things over time. You know, it just ends up really stripping the soil.
Right.
And so it's so cool that she, like, that's a really neat thing. Like, I think it's because I'd had the opportunity to go and learn a little bit about that in Italy, and then reading about it here with the winery in California. It's just really neat how they do. They bring in different bugs.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like it's just, it's neat. And, you know, out of this, I think there's, there's lots of, it's neat. There's lots of physicians actually getting involved in this sort of thing. And I'm certainly very interested. I mean, very interested in, you know, our land and our food, just because the way I've been trained now in my further training in functional medicine, like, we can't separate ourselves from it.
Right. Right.
Like, we just can't.
Yeah, not only can we not separate ourselves from it, but I think we need to recognize the deep connectivity that is there and the beneficial side to that, right? Like, if you're taking right. better care of your environment, your home, whether we're talking about our backyard, like literally where our bare feet go, or our community of Palmer as a whole, you know, I think you're right. There's more to this story. It's exciting. I don't know about you, but she mentions a book called The Soul of Soil. So that's on my next read list, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, here I am, you know, saving the soil in my day-to-day job, and there's a book called The Soul of Soil. I think I probably need to read that one.
Right. And it's kind of neat because I actually listened to another interview with her and one of my mentors, Dr. Robert Rowntree, and they kind of coined, you know, we always say food is medicine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we could also say farm is medicine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Soil is medicine. Right?
Right.
Yeah. There's another part back here in the back that I just wanted to read. This is towards the end when she's talking about her five aha moments. And she says, but all of these farmers are much more focused on the soil, both literally and metaphorically. They have come to see that in order for their farm to thrive, they must treat it not only as a center for production, but also as a rich ecosystem. In fact, they are more ecologists than farmers, because what occupies their attention day in and day out is the complex web of interactions among animals, plants, and nutrients. I read that and I was just like, yeah, you know, like, just like I'm sure you know in your area of expertise, there's all kinds of doctors. There's probably good doctors and bad doctors, and, you know, doctors that you support and you want to read. You know, it's the same thing in the world of farming, right? Like, There are folks that are really in this for all the right reasons and thinking about the big picture. And it's just exciting that we have so many of those around that we can support. And, you know, you can really taste the difference in their food. You can feel good about eating the food that they produce because you know that they put so much time and effort into the whole system, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's just, I mean, we're at the right time for this, and that's exciting. And I think we're so lucky here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we really are so lucky here. We have so many local farms and, you know, and whether it be growing vegetables or raising goats or pigs or cows or chicken, you know, like all of the things that we can get locally. Like, yeah. I think it's
in a super clean environment with clean water and clean air. Like, we're lucky is a very, it's a term I can get behind. We are really lucky in that regard. Jill, before we run out of time, I just have a couple of kind of questions that I ask all my guests. I don't have time for all of them today, but I'm going to ask you a couple of them. The first and foremost, what is your favorite thing to eat local this time of year?
Purple potatoes.
Oh, purple potatoes. Okay. How do you prepare them?
Roast them.
Yeah. Good. Good stuff. Are you a gardener yourself, or are you like, I admit this all the time on my show. I just don't take the time to garden. I have houseplants that I really love and keep healthy, but I prefer to go visit my farmers and eat from them. But what about you? Do you garden yourself, or are you a shopper?
I'm a little bit of all of them. I do have a garden. I'm not always the best gardener, I think. I've had years where I've been very good and years where I've been less successful.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
So, but I do, I have a garden and I have a greenhouse and I have apple trees.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You must have tall fences.
No, I live right here in town, and so it's really odd.
So the moose
They don't know.
They haven't heard the secret. We should be quiet. We shouldn't be broadcasting this out on the radio.
There's only ever one pile of moose poop by the garden in the spring.
Okay.
And that's it.
Wow. That's very lucky. Yeah. I've got an acre little plot. I've got good soil, but I do not have a fence and I have lots of moose. Just the other day, I went to take my garbage down to the end of the driveway, and I was startled by Mr. Moose. So not an option for me at this time, I guess. But
right.
Yeah. Final question. When you're not in Alaska, Jill, what's your favorite place to visit? Non-work-related.
Non-work-related?
Yeah.
Do I have to pick one?
No.
I would say mountain biking, probably in Arizona.
Okay.
In the winter.
Okay.
I do like to go to Hawaii.
Okay.
In the winter. And any time of year, I really like to go back to Duluth.
Not in winter, right?
Even in winter.
Okay.
Duluth or when I land in Anchorage are the two places that I can settle and say home.
Oh, good.
But I have to kind of say that I do go to Florida, but that's because my family is there.
Yeah.
And I don't dislike Florida, but I go there because my family is there every couple of years.
Yeah. Well, you know, folks, you heard it here first, if you haven't already taken this up, that getting outside of Alaska to somewhere warm is doctor recommended, right? If that's what your doctor's doing, that's what you should probably do too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Jill, it's been a pleasure chatting with you this morning about this book, Pharmacology by Daphne Miller. 10 out of 10 recommend, folks. Give it a read. It's got just lots of great little tidbits in it. I really appreciate you gifting it to me, and I look forward to us finding another book to read.
Well, maybe we should pick up our Soul of the Soil.
I think we probably should. Okay.
Yeah,
challenge
should.
Accepted, right. Jill. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Amy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.